Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl.
Welcome back, friends. You are joining us deep into season two of the podcast. This is where our guests are sharing their God story, their food story, and the lessons they've learned along the way. These conversations are meant to be encouraging as you walk the intuitive eating path with Jesus. If you're looking to learn about intuitive eating, then you need to head on back to season one of the podcast. That is our teaching season where we lay the foundation and then unpack each of the 10 principles of intuitive eating specifically from a biblical perspective, one at a time. Season one was meant to be treated like an online course, so please listen from the beginning in order and take your time. These season two stories of encouragements will be waiting for you, and you can come back to them at any time. I know you're going to get so much more out of the season two conversations if you take the time to learn the basics in season one first. Okay, so today we are talking with our guest, Trisha Hicks. Trisha is sharing her testimony of healing from eating disorders and discovering intuitive eating and intuitive movement. Trisha is an IIN health coach, corporate wellness specialist, member of the American Association of Drugless Practitioners, a Revelation Wellness Fitness instructor, an ACE behavioral change specialist, and a daughter of the King. You can find her online at thecrownwellness.com. I do want to give a quick content warning that there are detailed disordered eating behaviors in Trisha's story. So if you think that might be triggering to you, then please take care of yourself. Before we jump into this conversation with Trisha, as a reminder for all of our podcast episodes, this program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you see how those principles align with scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good. Hey, Trisha, welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women.
Thank you. It's such a blessing to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So let's just start right into it. Your God story, your food story, go back to the beginning. Tell us about it.
Okay. So I'm really, I was preparing for this and I was really excited. It starts with my food story, but my food story is what led me to God. And so growing up, I was always termed big boned, tall. Wow, you look older than what you are. I had two older siblings, both brothers, and they always were like, you're not the oldest one. And I was the youngest, but I just always was tall, big bone, big frame, but I didn't think much of it as a kid. It served me well in elementary school. I always got picked first on the kickball team and I was athletic. So I was like, I was part of the cool group then. Then as I got into junior high and, you know, boys start dating girls and all that. And I was no longer like accepted because of what I look like. I was, and I'm air quoting, overweight. And so I started to feel less than because of what society was telling me. But I was happy. I was like, okay, I'm good. Just went along my business. And I was in a babysitting job. And this was back in the day when the phone was still on the wall and had the cord. And so I was at a babysitting job. I called my parents who were at a gathering, and somebody on the other end picked up the phone. I asked for my mom. They laid the phone down to go get her, of course, and it was receiver side up. So I could hear what was going on in the background. And someone said, oh, Trisha's on the phone. She needs to talk to her mom. And I heard another person say, who's Trisha? And then another person said, the fat one. And it was gut wrenching.
Wow.
From that moment on, my life changed. The trajectory of my life changed. God has done a work in me of where that person in that moment is what led me to Christ. But I had a lot of work to get through that, to let go of the pain, because that's where I started. I got to do something about this. I don't want to be the fat one. Like, I don't want to be known as that. Who am I? That's my identity. And so it was that identity crisis. And who am I? And I was about 15. And I was thinking about this story. I started going to this place called the Inchworks. But I don't know if you guys were aware of toning tables. I don't even know if they're a thing anymore. But so I went, it was toning tables. And really, it was just because I was moving my body. This toning tables are not strenuous. I don't even know how it worked. But the fact of the matter was, I was actually moving my body. And I lost weight. And it was over the course of the summer. And I went back to school. It would have been my junior year. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, you know, what did you do? You look fabulous. Like, I was getting all these compliments. Never once did they ever say anything about, you're a nice person, or, you know, we love you, because it was always because of the way you look, we can accept you. And then of course you feed off of that. And I was getting all these compliments and I was like, well, wait a minute. I am not even watching what I eat. I just lost this weight because I was moving my body, not doing anything. What if I start dieting? So then I start dieting, and that whole restriction came on. And I, if you ask anybody that knows me well, I have a very obsessive, addictive, just that's my character. Like, when I do things, I do them 110%. I'm all in, black or white, I'm going for it. And so I became just addicted to restriction. And how much more can I restrict? And it got to the point, and I can look back and laugh at this, but I could phrase the Jolly Rancher diet, like, and because of our society, like, people would buy into this. Like, my diet consisted of, and to this day I cannot suck on it, but 10 grape Jolly Ranchers and water. I lived off of that. That was my diet. So you can imagine what happened to me. Both, again, you know the physical aspect of it, but you don't know the mental and the mental toll that it played on me. And my story went that I actually had a guidance counselor that reached out to me and said, what is going on with you? And that's a really hard part of my story, is because the people that were closest to me didn't pull me aside. And mind you, I was at this point at a very, very scary weight. And I broke down in that guidance counselor's office and I said, I need help. I don't know what to do. I can't, like, it was just, and even to then I thought there was something physical wrong with me, but it was a mental health disorder. Like, eating disorders are a mental health disorder. People want to put them in the physical, like there's a physical, but it's mental health. I was mentally unwell. But at that time, again, I'm showing my age, and where I lived, they took me to a hospital right from school that day, in an ambulance, because my heart rate was so low and I was completely dehydrated. And they put me in a psychiatric ward. And I remember, like, the intake, and they were taking away all my shoelaces, any strings. And I, like, looked at the gentleman and I said, I don't understand. Why are you doing this? He's like, well, he looked at me and was like, you're essentially killing yourself. So we have to make sure that there isn't anything that you could use to kill yourself. And I was like, oh, like, it never dawned on me what I was doing to myself. So again, eating disorders weren't as prevalent. They didn't have good treatment for it back then. I know, and I still know there's areas that it needs to improve immensely. But I was in and out of treatment places, and I was lucky enough that I had parents that could afford to send me to some good treatment centers. But again, it was like the fourth one. And all along, I was being taught behavior modification. And I praise God that I was given those. Those behavior modifications at that time kept me alive. But I was still missing something. It was like, I would do it. Like every time you went to treatment center, gain X amount of weight, you can go home. Okay, great. Do it. Go home. You fall back into those old patterns because you're not getting to the root of what is causing this. And again, it was an identity crisis. But long story short, it made my life manageable. I went on, I got married at the age of 20. And that was when I was first, exposed to religion, in that I was marrying somebody who was Catholic, and their grandmother was determined that they were getting married in a Catholic church. There was no other way her grandson was getting married. He hadn't gone to church since catechism when he was like 12, hadn't stepped foot in a church, but we were going to do that. And it was the only way we were getting married. So, again, I went through all of the classes, we got married, I was baptized Catholic, all of that. But in that, I was never told about a relationship with Jesus. Like, it's a relationship. And I'm not against Catholicism, but it's very rules and like, it's very regular, like there's not too much about a relationship. And so that was my first like God moment in my story. So it was a very unhealthy marriage. And I went from the anorexic stage of my eating disorder to binge eating. And I'm grateful for, I can look back and say, I'm grateful for all of these happening. And people are like, are you nuts? I'm like, no. But I truly believe that because of my binge eating disorder, so I was put on a lot of medications, hormones to try to get my menstruation regulated and all of that. And I was told I would never have kids. You're never going to have kids, this and that. Because of the binge eating disorder, I had put on enough weight that I miraculously, and I say I have the second Jesus, but that's what I tell them. But so I was on birth control and they said I would never get pregnant, and I got pregnant. But I truly believe it was because I was in that binge eating stage and I had enough nourishment that I could sustain a life. So had the child. And then once I had him, I realized that because of him, I was not going to be in an abusive relationship. And I believe that he was the reason that led me out of that. So then divorce, I'm divorced. I have a 6-month-old, a single mom. So I started going to church. And I remember they have like Connect Group Sunday where you go and there's all these small groups and you just kind of like, it's like speed dating for small groups. And I'm like, I'm there an hour and I'm like, there is nothing clicking, God. Cause I really felt like God was like, you need to go to that. And I'm like, there is just nothing clicking. I don't know why I'm here. Very last lady I went up to and talked to, and I started talking to her and I was like, oh, what is your small group about? And she's like, well, did you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I was like, what? So she gave me that scripture. And then she went on to say that, that she meets with people and she's like, it's a health and wellness, 8-week Bible study, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, like, I was like, I had confirmation. This is why you're here. This is the group you need to join. So I joined that group. And again, it was like, it was that first piece of like, oh my goodness, God's spirit is living inside of me and I'm abusing this body. And I'm given this one body to house his spirit. And that's how I'm going to spread the gospel. This is my vessel. And I literally, like, I felt like I was in so much sin to God. And how could he forgive me for doing this after all he had done for me and became a man in a body? And I'm using this and I'm abusing it. So that was my first, like the first connection, which led me to want to become a health coach. So I did my health coaching certification with integrative nutrition, became a health coach, started my own LLC, was coaching people, and I felt this like just, I'm helping people to lose weight. That's it. I'm not helping them to pursue wholeness or health. I'm giving them behavior modification. And I was like, I don't feel good about this at all. And I was on a call with a person that works for She Works His Way. And because I was a business entrepreneur and I was looking for ways to build my business. And I got on this phone call, and God bless her soul. She said, I know I'm supposed to be on this call talking to you about She Works His Way, but we'll get back to that. Cause I told her my story, and she's like, have you ever heard of Revelation Wellness? And I was like, no, I haven't heard of it. And I she told me all that. I started to Google it. And then I saw the book that goes with it. And I literally had bought that book a year and a half prior to that, opened it one time and put it away. And I was like, oh, this doesn't resonate with me at all. And then I was like, it was just that moment in time of like, I didn't have all the wisdom. God hadn't given me all the wisdom to appreciate that. And it wasn't the time. It wasn't in His timing. But I pulled out that book. It was like a week before their next instructor training, called up, got signed up. I don't like to fly, found out, oh my goodness, I am flying across the United States to do this instructor training. I don't like, it was everything against my flesh. But I was like, I'm doing it. I'm all in. And so I, went to Revelation Wellness training. God did an amazing work in me in that. And that's where I became familiar with intuitive eating. And that is when I found your podcast. I went through season one. I bought the workbook, went through all of that, worked through it all. And I was like, this is it. This is the missing piece. This is what I want to help spread. This is what I want to use to spread the gospel. This is it. This is why I walk through what I walk through. It's that, you know, you're going to suffer, but it isn't over till it's good, and God will make it good. And so that's where I was. And so I totally transitioned my health coaching to an intuitive eating Christian perspective. But I believe that as a Christian, that intuition is the Holy Spirit. And so all of my coaching is guided by the Holy Spirit and helping people to get into a relationship with Christ and to allow Him to lead you in your wellness and your wholeness. And it isn't attached to your body size or the number on the scale. It really is your wholeness and your health is what attunement and alignment you have with Jesus and where He's leading you. And so the intuitive eating part was awesome. And I get it going. And then your flesh just kind of like Satan he's tricky. And he moved right in there and he grabbed a hold of like, oh, she is progressing in this, like she's got this food thing down. She's no longer going to food for comfort. So I got to do something else now. So I started compensating for my eating with my exercise. And I was like, I'm good. I'm eating, I'm healthy, you know, all of this. But I didn't realize I was becoming so obsessive with my movement, and it had to look a certain way. It had to be a certain amount of time. It had to be structured. I had to cross off all the boxes. And immediately God like convicted me. And you both know there's a lot of information now. I wouldn't say a lot, but a lot more information now about intuitive eating than what there used to be. But like movement, there's not a lot of talk about the intuitive movement. What does intuitive movement mean? What are you talking about? And so what I am in the midst of, and my struggle is right now, I am writing a book, and I am not a writer. And that is why I know this is from God, because there is nothing in me that wants to sit down and write this book. And I keep saying, it's going to get easier. It's going to get easier. And every day I like wrestle with my flesh, and it's not, you know, but I know I always have to think of, even if this book helps one person, I don't want to be a bestseller. That's not what this is about. This book is about my obedience to God. That's it. Nothing else. And so that's where I'm currently at now. I'm trying to take what I learned from an intuitive eating perspective and transitioning that into intuitive movement, along with practicals and just a space where people can, I call it pause, ponder, and pray. It's just that pausing, be stilling, and knowing and pondering His ways are higher than our ways, and then just covering it all in prayer, and then allowing that Holy Spirit to move in you. And the main scripture that God has placed on my heart when I was like, okay, God, I hear you. I need to write this book. Okay, like, help me. It was Acts 17:28, and it's, in Him we live and move and have our being. And so that is the basis of where God said, from this is where you're going to create your book. So that's where I'm at. It seems like I was thinking to myself, I don't have a lot to say about my story, but here we are. Like, so I guess it, when you think about it, this is where I'm at. And hear me when I say this, it's not perfect. I still struggle every day, but when I'm struggling, it's when I've become more attached to the world than I am to my Savior. And so that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Such a good story. What a testimony.
Yeah.
Wow. I have so many questions. so much good stuff. Okay. So I'm just trying to put into perspective years. So how old is your son now?
He is 24.
Okay.
So it's all been a long journey. I'm trying to think. It's been a 32-year journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes time, and the refinement never stops.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And like, I always say God is, He just is funny. He's so funny, because just when you think you got it all figured out, there's still another peeling of that onion back of, okay, wait a minute, what about this? Have you thought about this? And it's all for His glory. So I say, come on, God, just keep peeling.
Yeah. Something that really stuck out for me in your story is God working in broken places. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about the small groups at church and the lady reaching out to you about, did you know your body is a temple? My non-diet dietitian soul went, oh no, like, she's going to sell her a diet. Like, that's so hurtful and harmful. But God used it for good, right? So yeah. Revelation Wellness has had some like diet culture-y stuff in the past, and like, they're learning and growing, and it's beautiful. And like, I just see all these things, even, you know, a broken marriage, that brought you to learning a lot about God, a lot of pieces, you know, just all these things. You can see how God, like, He gets in there with you in the brokenness. He comes right on in, and He works it together for good. Like you said, like, He will work all things together. And so I just love the testimony of your story of God working in really broken places.
It really is that from beauty to ashes. And like, I tell people when I'm telling my story of like, I thank God every day for my eating disorder, because I don't know if I would have met Him if I didn't. Like, He used that to would He have brought me in some other way? I hope so. But I'm standing on the fact that I walked through it, and that's how I met Him, and I want others to meet Him through that. Like, there's so many people that struggle with so many other things. It's like, it's almost like you have to get broken to know that you need something. It's like you're losing your own, the own power that you feel like you have, that own self-control of like, I'm so broken, I can't do this anymore. I got to get help somewhere.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of us have that testimony, right? Of like, well, I came to that with the end of myself, and like, it was bad, and God pulled me out of it. And those testimonies are so powerful and so beautiful and so amazing. And like, I always hear from people that, like, when they're like, well, I don't really have a testimony. Like, I grew up in a Christian house and, like, I always knew God loved me and I didn't really experience anything awful. I'm like, that's a testimony. Like, that's pretty amazing too. So, like, God works in all these different ways and all these different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Trisha, I think the illustration of God just leading you this whole time is really apparent to me in the fact that you already had the Revelation Wellness book sitting on your shelf waiting to be read and you weren't. And I really appreciate how you just, like, were honest about it. Like, you picked it up, you went, no, I'm not ready. And that is so, like, that happens. I so relate to that. I know so many listeners will relate to that. And then in his timing, there it is back in your path again, when he's done more work and, the fruit is ripe for picking then. So yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And even just now where I'm at in my movement, what I always tell people is it really is, it's shifting from the worldly mindset to a kingly mindset, the kingdom mindset of his ways are higher than our ways. And, like, I really look at my workout space now as holy ground because Jesus is with me there. And I never acknowledged him in my movement. It was always like I separated it from this is what I got to go do this. But I'm doing it with him now. And he convicts me when I'm out of line. I mean, he does. And, like, and I want to fight it. And I'm like, nope. I don't go by a strict schedule anymore. I go by what does my body need today? What does my spirit need today? I tell people now, I work out now. It's not an aesthetic thing for me anymore. It used to be. But for me, it's now just, it gives me that space to commune with God. He speaks to me in that moment. It's a heaven. It's holy ground now when I move. And when it's not holy ground, I know I'm not moving with him. And I stop. And I kind of realign myself, recalibrate. And it's supposed to be fun. Movement's supposed to be fun. God's a fun guy. He wants us, he created us to enjoy everything around us and be satisfied in him. And he wants to include movement in that.
So Trisha, I'm just curious, if you could tell us a little bit more about what kind of practices do you have set up, or maybe it's just a description of the space. I just want a glimpse into what this beautiful workout space being holy ground and sacred to you actually looks like. Give us a little picture of that if you could.
It's so funny. I'm in my unfinished basement and I've got some gym matting down and I have my Bible. I have some highlighters, some pens, a journal. And sometimes I have my laptop. It depends on, if I'm doing a online workout or something like that. Some good praise music, gotta have a good playlist. And for me right now, weights, some resistance bands, but it really is a sacred space, nothing fancy, just like the fundamentals. And, a mat for stretching, a roller for muscles. But for me, the most important part of that is I also have a whiteboard. And so I have those anchor verses that just to keep me in alignment. Romans 12, 1 and 2, that, you know, my body is a sacrifice and it is, I want it to be pleasing to him. And that I can't conform to the worldly standards. And so it's just that, again, it's that shifting of my mindset. And then I allow him to lead. And so what does my body feel like today? Do I need to just stretch? Do I need to be still? So it doesn't necessarily mean movement is movement. It could be laying there and just soaking in him and letting him speak to me. And again, it's just that attunement, and that's just what it looks like. And there's and my husband is growing plants over to the left. Gotta mention my husband's plants in case he listens to. So he does all our gardening in-house before it's nice enough outside. So and sometimes I'm like laying there in my be still and all the bright lights come on and I'm like, oh, it's a light. So but that's what it looks like. So yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And I keep my journal there just so I can kind of document. Sometimes it's the movement is to work something out. You know, mm-hmm. God's trying to work something out with me so I can, you know, write it down and I can look back. And then too, just writing down kind of like that self-awareness of maybe why am I feeling the way I feel? It's helping me get to the root of my emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then surrendering it to him. It is a place to surrender my workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like, you know, the intuitive movement where we're asking our bodies and Holy Spirit, like, what do I need today? What's going to honor you today? And I, Aaron and I kind of have talked about like menu planning when it comes to food, right? We're not like meal planning and prepping. We're menu planning and prepping so that we know we have lots of options available and what we have and that we can ask what we want and what sounds good. And I've been working with clients recently on making like a movement menu so that when the time comes to figure out like, what am I going to do today? Like, okay, what's available to me today? You know, it's pouring rain. I'm not really going to enjoy going for a walk out in that. So that's not on my menu. You know, like, what are the things that are available for me? What sounds good? Like, what's doable today? And then kind of selecting from that menu.
Yeah, I love that movement menu. That's good. Because that's really what it is of like, having, you still want those options available. Because I always say you want to be prepared. But it's like making sure you know what you like. Because when you're, even with the food, you're in diet culture, like there was foods that I thought I liked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what in the world? How did I ever think I liked that? And then for me too, like, so I used to think I liked running. I don't like running. I hate it. So I don't run anymore. And it was funny. Like I got so many injuries. Like the Holy Spirit was totally trying to talk me through the whole running thing. And I was like, no, I'm not. I want to be a runner. Like I want to do this. This is what, you know, and I just kept running and running and I was running nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. And so I don't run anymore unless I'm, you know, trying to catch a kid that's going to run out of the street in front of a car. You ain't catch me running. That's the only time you're going to catch me running. But I found that I do love weights. I like the way weights make me feel like strong. But I love choreographed dance. Love it. It doesn't even have to be choreographed. I can just put on music and act like a total fool in my basement. And I'm like, the old Trisha would have been like, that doesn't count. Like, that's crazy. That's not movement. And now I'm like, that was the best couple minutes I just had. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I just love it. And it's because I've changed my mindset. It's not aesthetic. It's not about that. It's just about our God did create our bodies to move. But in that movement, he created us as vessels to share his love, mm-hmm. not vessels to make our bodies and manipulate our bodies to look a certain way. But it, like, our body was meant to show love to others. And if I don't take care of my body, I'm not going to be able to do that. Whether it be over-exercising, under-exercising, overeating, under-eating, it is that just that alignment with him so that I can do his will.
I love that mindset shift, Trisha. I mean, the focus on aesthetics and what it does for your body appearance has definitely been the kind of dominant messaging that we get in diet culture. And so I love your just opening it up to what's fun and what feels good. I love that you said weights make you feel strong and like you want to feel good, not look a specific way. It's like, I'm doing this to take care of myself. And part of caring for yourself is making sure you're enjoying whatever it is, food or movement. Like,
No, but the Lord does not want us to torture ourselves. This is a get to, not a have to. And when we find the things that work for us, that make us feel good, that make us into those capable vessels. And I love how you kind of brought it back to the ultimate purpose of all of this is to love God and love others. And so how does movement really help you to do that? Like what have you experienced in that, Tricia?
So I'm one that I just naturally, I have to process things. My body holds, they say the body holds the story. And so I'm one that has to like work it out. When I'm stressed out, my husband will look at me and say, you need to go move. Or didn't you, like, you need to go for a walk. Like, and for me, it's that stress of when I move my body and I'm moving with the Lord. That is my identity in Christ. And that's who he created me to be. And so that's where I'm most like him, that I can love on other people when my emotions are not leading me. The flesh isn't leading me. I feel like I'm more with him and I'm more in attune with him when I've moved my body. I feel more alive, I guess is the word. I feel alive with him and he wants us to live, like, to thrive. So that movement piece makes me feel like I'm thriving. And then also just in that to the rest is like, we work from rest and that's something I had to learn the hard way. Cause I'm just a doer and I'm a go-getter. And, people always say like, I'm the gas pedal. Like I'm on the, even at work on the team, like I'm the gas pedal and the person I work with at work is kind of like the brake and we kind of even each other out, but I didn't know how to put the brake on. And so I had to learn how to do that. But then as I started to do that, my movement became more meaningful and, it felt better. Like I wasn't getting out of exercise what God intended it to. Like it was wearing me out. It wasn't making me feel better. But when you move in alignment with him, it does bring you joy. It does bring you refreshment. And so then it opens up that area of, I want to go out and help others. It gives me the ability and the energy that I need to go out and, because like, you guys know this work is hard. Mentally, it's hard. And I need that. It's like the filling up. It's like going to the well. And as I read the Bible, it's that time of worship and getting into his word and getting filled back up so that I can go give out.
So I'm asking for the other gas pedals like myself out there. How is it that you learn to rest, please?
So it's discipline and it's that obedience. But again, for me, it was like knowing that I just kept telling myself, you have to work from rest and you're going to burn out. And that's not what God intends. And it really was like God putting the brakes on me with some injuries, some just not feeling well. And because I wasn't listening. And so he gets your attention. And so if I give anybody advice, don't wait for the injury. If God is speaking to you, listen. Don't make him use those traumatic things to get you to listen. He's speaking to you. He speaks to us all day long. And, you know, he comes to us in other people and words and things. And you might be listening to this podcast right now and, okay, God may be using me and Charlie and Aaron to speak to you. Listen and be obedient, because that's when the blessings come. And then just covering it in prayer, cover your wellness and your health in prayer and ask God, it says in his word, you know, knock and he will answer, and ask him, what does it look like for me? That's really where I got down to. What does resting look like for Tricia? And for me, it's oftentimes putting on some really, really good praise music, just real soft, laying down, I do a lot of the Be Still and Be Loved. I do a class now for women just with that, where we just have a stretching. So stretching is big for me, with the rest movement of stretching and just listening to God's word and speaking life over people. And just, it really is just a intimate time with the Lord is what rest is to me.
That's so good. We're going to have to put a link to that. I don't think everybody knows about the Be Still and Be Loved, or just that type of thing even exists. So, oh my goodness. Yeah. Stretching and worship and having the word just wash over everything. That sounds so lovely. That's something that is definitely needed, I think.
We live in such a fast-paced society where do more, go harder, faster. You know, you're going to get behind and got to work it out. And I found that it's, again, we serve a funny God, that when I allowed myself to rest, I was able to accomplish a lot more because I was in that kingdom mindset. And in that, a lot of times in those rest periods of praying, he would show me where my yeses are. And all my yeses, I want to be in accordance to his will, not my own will. But he'll show me where God's yeses are and where I need to close doors to open up doors where and give him more capacity to move in my life. So, and when I was running, like, so we say that God whispers to us. If you're always running, you try to run and hear somebody whispering, you're not going to hear a word they're saying. It's muffled. You have to slow down to hear him. I mean, sometimes he speaks in mighty ways, but oftentimes it's that still small voice. And if you're constantly on the gas, you're not going to hear it. So you got to put the brake on and stop, and then you'll be able to hear.
Yeah, that's so true. So, okay, Tricia, let me pick your brain here for a second for, I know a lot of women in the community and women doing this work find that, working out or movement or exercise or whatever that is can be very triggering coming right out of diet culture. And we're kind of not confident that we have good heart intentions, and maybe we're resistant to doing it because we don't want it to be diety, and we're just rejecting all good health behaviors because diet culture has kind of tried to claim them. That's something that Char and I really, do not want people to miss out on the beauty of wonderful things like movement, because the voice that we hear the most talking about movement is usually the voice of the enemy and the shame and everything that is covered in diet culture. And so for somebody who's maybe resistant or afraid or doesn't have their heart right, but they want movement and they know that's where the Lord is leading them, what are some like beginning steps that you would encourage them to try, or a foundation they can lay to make sure that this is a sacred thing and that they are in alignment? Where could they start?
I always tell people, I ask them the question, what did you like to do before this? What did you like to do as a kid? Like, it's almost like getting back to that childlike faith of back in the day. And I always use the analogy of, especially when I was in the eating, frozen my eating disorder and trying to work for that intuitive eating. If you remember back to it as a child, you would be outside and it could be 8 o'clock at night. You missed dinner. You're not hungry because you were busy and you were happy and you were doing something else. And then as soon as you go inside, I'm starving. I didn't even know, but it was because you were being filled by something else. So it's like, what did you used to do as a piece of movement that you got lost in it? And it could be dance, it could be riding a bike, it could be, you know, just taking a walk, a leisurely walk. We think if we don't sweat, it wasn't a workout, you know. And for a lot of people, just, you know, the practice of yoga or things like that, and again, it's all of that bringing Christ into the movement, whether it be yoga, whether it be running a 5K, whether it be lifting weights. For me, I also love kickboxing. That was something I loved back in the day. And I love just putting on some boxing gloves and knocking out the bag for a little while. But it's just finding that joy. But in him, there is fullness of joy. So if you bring him along, it's going to be a joyful process. But it's getting back to, and then taking away any expectations. We think if you didn't move for X amount of minutes, or you didn't do X amount of squats, or this or that, like, lay down those expectations. Put them at the foot of the cross. And because you're right, we often think, it's like we're in that all or nothing mindset of, okay, if I'm not going the world's way, then I have to say no to any movement, no to diet, but it's stewarding your body well. It's not, again, from that aesthetic or reaching a certain goal or a certain size or a certain number. It really is about that wholeness, body, mind, and spirit. Because we can move our body, but if the spirit and the mind aren't with it, there can still be unwellness there. And that was for me, like, to look at me back in the day, you were probably like, well, she's got it all together. No, she's like inside, she's about to die. Like, and so my soul was just so sick. And it's we're three parts. And this funny thing I just want to share. I was working on something the other day and we were talking about, you know, how it's so important for people to be in small groups and in community. And I like to say I'm an ambivert. So I love people, but I need that. I have to pull back every once in a while and be by myself so I can go back out. But God, because I was like, I just don't want to do another, you know, small group, this or that. And God reminded me, we are always in a small group, even when we're by ourselves, because we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with us. So even when I'm alone, I'm in a small group. And that's where my best counsel is. Again, I believe in, you know, wise counsel and being around godly women and speaking over them and that. But again, that counsel that I really want to tune into, I have with me. It's available. And I just need to be cognizant of when I need to reach out for it and listen. So, yeah. I hope that answered your question. Where to start?
Yeah, no, it did. And that's just such a beautiful thought of always being in a small group. Yeah. I love that so much, Tricia. Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful.
I would say, above all, start with prayer.
Start with prayer.
Yeah. I want to journal and ask God, show me what is going to bring me in alignment with you when it comes to my movement, because that is really where I had to do. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's great advice. Start with prayer. What other things could we do better if we just started with prayer every time on everything? Not just our movement, ladies. Let's do that for everything. Preach it to myself here. Well, Tricia, could you tell us a little bit where we can find you online, where the listeners can connect with you, how they could work with you, just all of that information. Tell them about that.
So, fortunately, right now, I am in the midst of changing platforms. So currently, I have no website to direct anybody to. So hopefully, all I can say is that I'm working through this book. And so right now, I'm working through a title, but I'm hoping, I don't know, because the editing thing is so crazy, but with the spirit, it's an intuitive movement guide to live healthy, whole, and free. And I'm trying to get them to let me say it's co-authored by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can put that on your book of by Tricia Hicks co-authored. But so anyhow, that's what I'm trying. But so I'm just kind of in the midst of, and I really had to step back. That's where one place God said, you need to get off the social media. You need to get off of the computer. If you want to get this book done, you have to turn off all distractions. And even for me, it's just a place where I have to be really careful of who I choose to follow, and because I can get sucked in. And so I'm so thankful that there's women like you who are putting your blood, sweat, and tears into this and just creating safe spaces for people who want to get better. So I don't really have anywhere to guide them to. Just look at my book. cacao.
Well, we can do an epilogue to this before this releases, because we're on the slow bus. We're recording this in April of 2023, so that'll be a joke for how long it takes me to get episodes out. But no, we will definitely get that information to the community, Trisha. There, I mean, that's such a great resource. I'm so thankful that you are being obedient and listening to the Lord on, oh goodness, getting off social media to be able to focus on what he's asking you to do. Like, that is commendable. That is beautiful. So thank you for your obedience. It's an inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, would you mind closing us in prayer today?
Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you, Lord, for these women. I thank you for the work they're doing. Just continue to bless their ministry, Lord. I just pray for the church, God. And this is such a tricky message, Lord. I just ask for your blessing and favor. We try to just teach people relationship over religion. And Lord, you are the person that's going to satisfy us, mind, body, and spirit. And we need to start running to you and just make our mindset that kingdom mindset, Lord, where you can love on us. And I pray that everyone who is listening to this podcast knows that their true identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. We are daughters and sons of the Most High King, and we need to just live and move from that space. Humble ourselves when it's necessary. And Lord, we just ask for just attunement to how we can steward our bodies, Lord, because you ultimately guide and direct us. It's up to us to be obedient. And God, we just ask that you show us the ways in which we should go that are going to lead us into the fullness of you and bring us joy in our movement and our eating and our health habits. And God, I just thank you for this time, and just, I praise you and give you all the glory, just for my testimony and what you put me through, and anybody listening to this, the struggles that you're going through, the Lord will use them and turn them to good. So Lord, we just thank you. We love you. And it's in your precious and powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We hope today's episode has blessed you. If it has, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the show. Like this review, titled, "Praise God, Just What I Needed." My disordered eating and journey to healing has been so rough and is tough in a world of people who try to control my worth. I have no words. This is exactly what I needed in my walk with God, to see myself the way he sees me. I'm so excited. Thank you, friend. What an amazing review. We love hearing about how this podcast has impacted your life. And we love how the simple act of leaving a review can help other women find this message. What a blessing. Thank you so much for listening to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. We will see you in the next episode.